Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
Waiting. You do it at grocery stores, in traffic, and at the doctor's office. But what if you could skip the wait altogether? Introducing TrustCare Plus, a healthcare membership that makes feeling better even faster. Skip the waiting room and enjoy priority access at any TrustCare clinic. Sick kid? Text your care crew day or night. Get discounts on prescriptions and so much more. Wait no more. Feeling better just got a whole lot faster. Join TrustCare Plus today. Plans start from just $15 a month. Learn more at TrustCareHealth.com/plus.
Roll free record on my count. 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2. Roll A, fade up on A.
Southern Miss to the top. You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour.
From the Southern Bancorp Studio in Hattiesburg, it is the Super Talk Eagle Hour. Kelly Sander along with Andrew Abity and producer-engineer Michael Mergens. Bob Getty down on the Mississippi Gulf Coast today tending to some business. This first segment of the program brought to you by Dickey's Barbecue Pit. Smoked here, loved everywhere, and a big supporter always has been of Southern Miss Athletics. Whether your catering event is a small event or a large event, leave the catering responsibilities to Dickey's. Lots to talk about today, including the dramatic win over Southeastern Louisiana last night on the baseball field. Later on in the program, we'll be talking with Matt Present, who is the radio voice of Appalachian State, the Mountaineers. The Golden Eagles will head there this weekend for a big Sun Belt Conference Series. Patrick McGee will join us. Normally he does it on Friday, but today, with the NFL draft being staged tonight, he has the very latest on perhaps what directions the Saints might be looking at tonight as the NFL draft, day one of 3 days of the NFL draft, will be staged tonight. So Patrick McGee will join us a little bit later on. Well, Andrew, he did it again. I think Britney Spears saying, whoops, he did it again. But Nick Monastir, the Voodoo Dolls in Hammond, are selling at a hot rate right now as Monastir walks it off again for the Eagles. And I'm just going to begin this conversation by saying, why do you pitch to that guy?
Well,
I would have somebody else beat me, but it's not going to be Monastir, especially if I'm Southeastern Louisiana.
Let me just say, I do wish we were one of those old school stations that could do a live, you know, the live weather report or traffic report, because I'd like to report there are no bridge jumpers today from Southern Miss baseball fans.
Good. I'm glad to hear that.
Cue the helicopter music or something.
Boy, Southeastern has to feel like Southern Miss really has got their number, though.
Well, you know, Southeastern walked them off at home last year. So, I mean, this has been a fun... Southeastern's a good baseball
program. Yeah, they are.
I don't care what people think of them or their name. They've been like that for years, even when Matt Reiser was there, who took them to the tournament a few times. I mean, since I was growing up in Louisiana, like, you knew Southeastern has their baseball school. You know, they're not LSU, but in their realm, they're you know, you look at them and go, that's not an easy one. But that's a good team that they beat last night and helped their RPI big time. They shot up to 33 when I checked last night. And you know, I think dropping that two-lane game was needed from an RPI standpoint, for me getting a break in my life standpoint. But to answer your question about Nick Monastir, I made the joke that he's a lion tamer is what he actually is, because baseball player, I don't know, but lion tamer he is. But, yeah, I don't know. I think the thought process is it's 2-0. I think one out, right? And you got to beat him on a pitch, and that wasn't the pitch to throw.
If you're going to do that, don't give him anything to hit.
No,
I mean the unintentional, intentional walk, whatever you want to call it. But I don't know.
But with no runners on base,
I get it.
You gotta pitch to him.
I get it. But man, I don't know if the same scenario happened again tonight, and they did it. I'm not sure that they would.
Here's the other part of it: the ball wasn't. I mean, yeah, there was a home run for Southeastern. It was a smoked ball, but outside of that, ball one carrying that well out of Pete Taylor Park last night. And, you know, I asked Monastir if he knew if it was a home run. And he goes, honestly, no, because there was one I hit earlier to center field. I thought that one was gone, and it didn't even make the warning track. So, you know, I just it just goes to show, man, Monastir's He's been touched by the baseball gods.
I think that Coach Ostrander said earlier this week that he's seeing it well. I think that's an understatement.
He's seeing it big right now,
yes,
is what he was saying.
And coming through big time. So as you looked at that game, Andrew, let's take a look at the report card. What did you like from what you saw from the Eagles? Any things that are problematic?
Well, slow start by the offense. I mean, truthfully, was not a great night for the lineup. I would like to give a gold star to Davis Gillespie, who's been in a slump, draws three walks and gets a double and draws a key RBI walk for them. So, man, he's been cold, and he really delivered them in terms of production. You know, defense could have been better. I'm sure you could say that, but it wasn't their cleanest night ever. And then I think pitching staff, it was a very interesting approach by Oz. I knew a lot of guys had planned for them to throw on Tuesday because, you know, you're going to have two midweek games. But really, really needed outing by Camden Sundstrom. And Kobe Allen looked like the guy we saw in that first month. He hit 95. He said he had to tweak something. He called it leaking out of his back leg, whatever that means. And just I think from what I gathered, it was he had to keep his back leg down slightly longer, and that's why he had been struggling. And he had acknowledged that, you know, he was a bee in a jar trying to find the hole.
But Ock continues to struggle.
Yeah, Ock continues to struggle. I mean, he was rough. I liked, again, when I saw from Ty Long. I think he's slowly becoming a kind of a key piece. You know, Best, not his best. Fowler. Yeah, I mean, the frustrating part about this team, it's the veterans that have struggled the most, and it's been mostly true freshmen in the bullpen that have been key. And I say that Brooks Willoughby, he gets the hook after one batter. I mean, Oz wasn't playing around, and kudos to him for managing it that way, because they couldn't play around in terms of RPI. I mean, that was a needed win for them to stay comfortably in the at-large picture.
And this is the second time in as many days that we've talked about baseball that Ty Long's name has been mentioned.
Yeah, well, I mean, we've all said it. Like, somebody always pops up this time of year, and if Ty Long can stay the course, and really you'd love to see him kind of extend his outings, and if you could get two or three innings out of him per outing, that would be massive boost for them.
Without mentioning any names, is it possible, and I'm talking about veterans in particular, is it possible that any of these veterans could pitch themselves out of a job in the future?
You mean off of the roster kind of thing?
Yes.
I think in this day and age of the transfer portal, yeah, probably. Now, I haven't seen them in this type of position before.
Right.
And a lot of the veterans that are here, I think, are set to graduate. So that has a little bit to do with it. I mean, this team's going to have a lot of turnover next year, so you got to really enjoy these guys while you got them, because between the lineup and how many veterans or well-known names are there that are on this pitching staff, you're going to lose a few to the draft. I mean, I was kind of talking about it. It's kind of a scary picture. I mean, they're going to be kind of starting from almost nothing next year.
Southern Miss, Coastal Carolina, Louisiana, you know, toward the top. And, of course, App State is just a game behind the Golden Eagles, mm-hmm, in the Sun Belt standings. But I want to talk a little bit about the conference. Biggest disappointment so far, in your view, according to preseason expectations?
Well, I think UL.
And the biggest surprise.
I think UL is probably the biggest disappointment. I mean, this was supposed to be – this league was supposed to be a four-bid league, bare minimum, with a couple teams that could easily be a fringe, and this league's not as deep as it was. And part of that is the parity on the lower end. It's harder to win in this league, but RPI doesn't back them on that. But, you know, I think that, honestly, you know, we knew Southern Miss would be good. I thought they'd be a little bit better based off of how they started this year. Coastal is actually scarier than what I thought they'd be. Troy's about what I thought they'd be. Georgia State, I thought Georgia Southern would be better, and I thought Texas State would be better. I say that they seem to have Texas's number, but outside of that, yeah, I think UL has to take the cake. And then I think the biggest surprise to me is actually Coastal, which is strange.
Really?
Well, you change coaches. They did not have a great pitching staff last year. They lost a lot of that team, and they're way better. I mean, right now, I have them hosting a regional right now.
Could you put Arkansas State in that discussion?
Nah, losing record. I mean, they're better than what they've been, and I think they will be better down the road, but this is, it's year one for a new regime.
And it's really kind of Nichols 2.0, because when the Nichols coaching staff went to Jonesboro to take over, and with them a lot of the Nichols players who have been at regionals the last couple of years. So they're kind of getting their feet wet in the Sun Belt. So Arkansas State might be a team to look.
Actually, I think Marshall is tremendously better than what they were last year. I think that's another program heading in the right direction now that they have a field, you know.
Marshall's one of those teams too that when the brackets come out from in Montgomery, that's a team you really don't want to see.
I think a lot of these teams are, especially those first 2 days, like I think all these teams at their best on a Friday, I mean, I think anybody could beat anybody. Now as you get deeper, there's fall offs, but you know, they're like App State's a scary team. I mean, this is the best hitting team in the league. And I mean, they're a game behind USM, and they're not even in the RPI at large discussion.
Well, Nick Monastir, by way of the Grand Slam down in Hammond not long ago, defeating the Lions 8-7 that night, and the walk off again last night by Monastir, 5-4 the final score.
Fun fact about Monastir, he had never hit a walk off in his career. At college or high school. He's kind of crazy.
He's catching up quickly. With the win, the Eagles go to 28-13 overall. They remain 12-6 in conference play. But App State is just one game behind them at 11-7. And the Eagles left last night at midnight to head to Boone, North Carolina. Hopefully they're there by now. But we will be talking with the man who knows all about App State baseball, Matt Present, the voice of the Mountaineers, next on the Eagle Hour.
Robinson Electric Supply in Laurel is a wholesaler and distributor that has been powering our community for over 20 years. With everything from conduits to tape, tools to home automation devices, if you can think of it, we supply it. All you need to do is talk us through the project at hand, and we'll ensure you're equipped to get it done right. To get all the electrical supplies you need, visit Robinson Electric at 519 North 13th Avenue or call us at 601-649-1317.
Hey, Southern Miss fans, TrustCare Health is proud to support the Golden Eagles and help keep our community in top shape. Whether you're cheering at the Rock or the Peak, TrustCare has your back with convenient walk-in clinics and top-notch care for your urgent primary and kids' care needs. From game day injuries to everyday health needs, TrustCare is your go-to team. Visit us in Hattiesburg and Laurel, and let's keep the spirit of Southern Miss soaring to the top. Visit TrustCareHealth.com for more details. TrustCare Health. Feel better faster.
Southern Miss to the top.
To the top.
You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour.
This segment of the Eagle Hour brought to you by Campus Bookmart. It's in the bright gold building right across from the campus at Southern Miss on Hardy Street. Just in time for graduation, and I think graduation scheduled for May 9th, which is just in a couple weeks. Plenty of good gifts, plenty of swag that you can purchase for that Golden Eagle graduate that will be walking in a couple of weeks. Open 24/7 online at Campus Bookmart. It's Campus Bookmart with a T.net. Kelly Sander along with Andrew Abadie, and joining us now from Boone, North Carolina, Matt Present, who in his fourth year at App State will be on the call this weekend as the Golden Eagles are in Boone getting ready to take on App State, who is breathing heavily on the Golden Eagles' shoulders here with just one game behind Southern Miss in the standings. Matt, welcome. Thanks for coming on the program today.
Yeah, thank you guys for having me.
So, man, you guys can hit the baseball.
Yeah, that's been the MO the last few years. It's been really cool to see this program transform itself. It was it took some time for Kermit Smith, once he took over 9 years ago, to get a team that was new to the Sun Belt Conference. And certainly it's a Southern footprint for the conference. And so to get App State into the conversation, it's really accelerated the past two seasons. And certainly you guys have seen us the past two seasons in the end of things, not during the regular season, but, you know, App State and Southern Miss have faced off in the Sun Belt semifinals each of the last 2 years. But, yeah, back-to-back 30-win seasons for the first time since 2012-2013, and there's a a real sense of baseball momentum here in Boone.
Well, you've heard the old adage in baseball is that pitching, good pitching, will usually beat good hitting. But you guys are winning a lot of games hitting the baseball. No disrespect to the pitching staff at all, but I mean, you guys are really raking it.
Yeah, I mean, I think what Kermit Smith and his staff do in terms of player development on the hitting side is really special. And there have been some case studies, I think you could say, the last couple of years. Austin St. Laurent, now with the Mariners organization, was an all-conference player who transferred in from ECU. C.J. Boyd graduated last year as the all-time home run hitter at App State. He was a guy who transferred in from ECU who didn't play a whole lot before coming to App State. And then last year, Banks Tolley was an All-American and a guy who was kind of a fourth or fifth outfielder at Ole Miss, and he comes to App State and has, you know, one of the best seasons in program history. And so I think those examples are a real testament to what Coach Smith and his staff have been able to do from a developmental standpoint on the offensive side.
I'd like to ask you about, and I know hitting has been great. App State number one in the Sun Belt Conference in hitting, but last in pitching in terms of ERA. I saw that they give up a lot of home runs. Can you speak to what's been going on with this pitching staff?
Yeah, I think the biggest thing right now is injuries, and that might sound like a crutch, but Jackson Steensma was one of the best pitchers in the Sun Belt Conference last season, and he suffered a season-ending injury in the offseason, so he has not been able to pitch this year. Caleb Marks, who was App State's Saturday starter, had a season-ending injury halfway through the season, and so while you have two or three guys that are really talented, certainly Caleb Cross you'll see start on Friday night. He's been lights out recently. But I think just there's not a ton of pitching depth for a lot of teams in college baseball. My guess is Southern Miss would probably be one of the few exceptions there, at least in the Sun Belt. And so I think, you know, when you have two pitchers of the caliber that App State lost this season, and you have those guys, and you know, you're figuring that they're going to pitch 10 or 12 innings a week. Well, now that's 10 or 12 innings that other guys are having to fill. And I think, given the fact that App State lost some early non-conference games that affected their RPI pretty substantially, I think it's been clear that the way this staff is managed pitching, they want to make sure that they have their best guys available on the weekend, and so it's kind of been a lot of staff days throwing 8 or 10 different pitchers on a Tuesday to make sure that they have the guys they want available, able to pitch on the weekend. So the conference ERA is about a run better than the overall ERA, but yeah, I certainly think that you know, it's a team that really hits the ball, and the pitching is starting to catch up. App State opened up a new pitching lab before last season, and I think that is something that the staff and people around this program hope that not only is something that is developing players that are already here, but hopefully a recruiting tool as well to bolster that pitching staff moving forward.
And then, unrelated to the team itself, but App State has its own version of the Vandy Whistler, as Southern Miss fans have come to find out in Montgomery. What's the story behind that? Do you know? Is there any story to it other than it's a fan who likes to whistle?
Yeah, it's funny. I don't know that I've thought about it since the Sun Belt tournament. It's not something that here at home in our ballpark I hear. I don't know if that's because I'm wearing a headset, because of where I'm sitting, because of where that individual is or isn't sitting. I really don't know. I wish I had a better answer for you, but it's not something that I've thought about since the Sun Belt tournament last year.
And Matt, you hear the term home field advantage, and by the way that you guys hit the baseball, it sounds like to me that your team is tailor-made for that ballpark, but what is the App State home field advantage? What makes that ballpark advantageous to the Mountaineers?
Well, I think playing at elevation probably has some impact on the offense, not to take anything away from the talent, and certainly it's a team that they're not ice cold on the road, but I think, you know, you hear about what Coors Field is for the Rockies. It's not that that much elevation. It's 3,300 feet and not 5,200 feet, but I do think there might be something there in terms of offensive impact and production that this team is able to use at home. It's a great baseball atmosphere. When I've been down at the tournament the last couple of years, it's been really cool to meet and interact with some Southern Miss fans, and there seemed to be a real baseball culture down there and a real excitement to get up to Boone and see it. It's not a big stadium. It only has, I think, about 1,000 true seats in the stadium. There's a grassy berm down the right field line and some a porch out in the outfield that some of the dads hang out at. But it's small and intimate, and it's a really cool environment. Certainly the picturesque setting, the photo that goes viral every year in the fall, the aerial shot of the field in the mountains is really cool and something that, you know, has given this place some notoriety.
Matt Present is the radio ESPN Plus voice of the Appalachian State Mountaineers. The Golden Eagles are, if they're not there, they're going to be there very, very soon, getting ready for a weekend series in the Sun Belt. So is this just a matter of App having to out-hit Southern Miss? What do you expect to see this weekend, Matt?
Yeah, I think it's going to really depend on the day. I mean, I think, to have Caleb Cross, who's thrown three consecutive complete games, has given up just three runs in his last four outings, presumably facing off with J.B. Middleton on Friday night. I mean, boy, that could be 1-0 or 2-1 type of game. But at the same time, you have two of the best offenses in the conference, the top two in terms of average. So certainly I think once you get beyond that premier pitching matchup on Friday, it could turn as the series goes on and these teams get deeper into the bullpens and deeper into the rotations. It certainly could take on a more offensive-oriented approach.
And as a head to Montgomery, do you think the Sun Belt gets three or four into the tournament?
That's a good question. I mean, certainly I think the last few years it's been a very deep league. This year it seems to be more of a top-heavy league. And so we'll see. I mean, certainly the way different schedules line up, there's probably different opportunities for different teams to make up or not make up ground down the stretch. I mean, certainly I think the top three are pretty set in stone in terms of Southern Miss, Troy, and Coastal Carolina all being within the top 40 RPI. Texas State is a really interesting one because they've really posted some marquee wins, including a number one ranked win on their schedule, but they've kind of been middle of the pack in the Sun Belt Conference. They're the next best RPI team, and they're in the 80s. So my sense would be that the three teams I mentioned are locks, and then it would take another team winning the tournament to make it four.
Well, Matt, we look forward to hearing your call this weekend, and we wish you nothing but the best, and thanks for joining us on the Eagle Hour today.
Of course. Thank you guys for having me.
All right, Matt Present, who will be on the call this weekend when the Eagles play the Mountaineers. And he was talking about that marquee matchup, Andrew, and we've talked about this before. You know, if you have, like, just the one stud, like he's kind of talking that they have, would it ruin some grand eternal plan to move your number one guy to Southern Miss's number two guy or something like that?
No, I think you got to keep... You know, it's so big to win that first game, but I don't know. I think you got to keep your rhythm going.
Dance with the lady that brought you. That makes sense. Well, the NFL draft is all the rage and all the headlines today. It'll be televised tonight. We'll go to New Orleans and see what the Saints might be up to. Patrick McGee is our next guest when the Eagle Hour continues in a moment.
Southern Miss to the top.
From the Southern Bancorp Studio, I'm Kelly Sander along with Andrew Abbott and producer engineer Michael Mergens. This segment of the Eagle Hour brought to you by 4th Street Bar and Grill. They had trivia there last night. They're going to have trivia all the way through the month of May on Wednesday night. So if you like those trivia games where there is a definitive answer, keep 4th Street in mind for Wednesday nights. And also any big sporting event that's happening on TV, whether it's Southern Miss or tonight's NFL Draft, they'll have it for you. 4th Street Bar and Grill, right over the 4th Street Bridge in the shadow of the Rock. Proud to support Southern Miss Athletics. Speaking of the NFL Draft, one of the phenomenons to me in television is how something that was normally as boring as a draft can be hyped into one of the most watched events on television. It's going to be broadcast live tonight from Green Bay. You'll be hearing all about the NFL teams and their choices. Of course, most of us in South Mississippi are delirious, worried, sick with grief as to what the New Orleans Saints might be doing in the draft. And who better to tell us from New Orleans, Patrick McGee from the Times-Picayune. Patrick, good to have you on again, man.
Sure, thanks for having me.
All right, so what do we know at this point? The draft doesn't start till, what, 6 or 7 tonight? But do we know anything?
Not a lot. I mean, this is, I guess, maybe my fourth or fifth draft during my time with the Times-Picayune. And this is probably the one that has the most uncertainty, and the Saints are picking the highest they have in a while at number 9. And I think the people who are kind of in the know, or mostly in the know, are starting to think that the Saints will probably take probably the best player available at number 9, and then probably try to trade back into the back third of the first round, and then probably try to draft a quarterback. At least that's what they would hope to do. So now, if they don't think that trade's going to come to fruition, do they go ahead and take a quarterback? You know, Mickey Loomis was pretty coy yesterday, wouldn't really say much of anything, not that you'd really expect him to. But the Saints really could go in a variety of ways. Rod Walker did a survey of local media here in New Orleans and who they thought the Saints would draft in the first round, and my gosh, I mean, there's like 12 names between the 32 members of media, so that just tells you the last few years. I mean, you had a pretty good idea who the Saints were zeroing in on and where they were who they were going to get at that point of the round, first round, but right now it's really hard to say.
If they were going to trade their way back into the last third of the first round, how much draft capital do they have and how much are they willing to part with?
I mean, they've got more, thanks to the Marshawn Lattimore trade, they've got more picks than what they were looking at. Let's see here if I can pull up the Saints draft picks on how many they got. But they do have something to work at for a trade. And possibly, you know, they could always say, hey, we'll give you our second or third rounder in 2026, something like that. I know it's some fans kind of cringe when they do that, but eventually they find a way to get those draft picks back. So I would think right now they're looking at, they have pick 40 in round 2, pick 71 in round 3, pick 93 in round 3. Then they have two picks in the fourth round. So the second through the fourth round, they've got 5 picks.
Isn't any potential strategy though predicated on what happens with Carr? And what do we know at this point?
Not a lot. Right now, I think everybody's just assuming he's probably not going to be playing this year because of the injury that he's dealing with. Apparently, it's a lingering injury from 2023, and supposedly it's worsened, and now he's considering surgery. So you can't really rely on him at all. I mean, he was already somewhat of a question mark to start with. Is he going to be the bridge guy, or are they going to try to, you know, just move on from him? But right now it just feels like the Saints are in a position where they kind of have to move on from him. So I don't think Carr factors in a whole lot tonight. If they've got that kind of posture, again, the Saints are being kind of coy on this. They may know something that we don't in terms of Carr. But right now, just from the outside perspective, it feels like the Saints have to move on.
Gosh, I hope they know something that we don't, because, man, I've never been so low on the Saints coming in on a draft. But let me ask you this, Patrick. In your mind, let's flip it around. What's a bad draft by the Saints look like? In your mind, what do you think is their worst case scenario? What is the botch job?
probably not drafting a quarterback in the first three rounds, picking a quarterback in the fourth round, which has proven to be a disaster last few seasons. If they do that, there may be riots in the streets of New Orleans, because the Saints just keep just screwing that up. Spencer Rattler, probably the better guy of the quarterbacks they picked in that mid-round. But you know, I don't know. I mean, I think I'm a proponent of drafting Ashton Jeantie in the first round, number 9, if he's still available. Mm-hmm. Pairing him with Kamara would give the Saints really one of the better backfields in the NFL, I think. So you know, maybe something falls their way. I don't know. Maybe, I guess, the worst case scenario, if really just through the first 8 picks of the first round, they know the best guys, they or the guys at the top of their board are already kind of gone. And they're just sitting there saying, well, we're forced in a position to draft our quarterback right now. And, you know, I think that would probably be Jackson Dart in that position, but he is not really a top-10 quarterback. He's somebody you're picking after number 20.
Well, you mentioned them drafting a quarterback, but, man, this has mm-hmm. to be one of the thinnest quarterback classes in memory.
I mean,
there's Cam Ward, who, yeah, he checks a lot of boxes, and then I think in past years, Jackson Dart's probably a third rounder, and then there's the Shedeur Sanders question mark. I mean, the talk is not highly of him, at least that's what they have been saying about him. If it's not Jackson Dart, who's their best option?
Shuff, the guy from Louisville, I think is probably the other guy who you put into that mix. He's somebody that's kind of had his stock improve, and I think it's kind of just built around he's the older guy. You know, he did have some success last year. He's kind of prototype as a passing quarterback, and everybody kind of looks at what Bo Nix is, an older college quarterback coming in. It's somebody that you can kind of plug in immediately and hope he can go out there and compete. But I just have a hard time believing that he's the answer. But I'm somebody that's a little bit higher on Dart than others. But no, I still don't think he's he is certainly not a top 10, but he's probably a guy that should be off the board by 25 or 26.
Outside of this first round, what position do they truly need to address outside of quarterback? I mean, what else do they really need to go after, especially with all those mid-round picks?
Well, I mean, it's a lame answer, but they just have a lot of, you know, spots they really have to answer. You know, offensive, you know, they declined to pick up the fifth-year option on Trevor Penning. I think they're ready to kind of move on from him at tackle. Possibly they're going to look at him at guard, which I thought they should have all along. I think offensive tackle is a position they need to address. And the Juwan Johnson signing it was pretty lame, I thought. He's not your guy. So I think tight end is another position they have to address. And they're lucky they could have a Tyler Warren or somebody like that sitting there at number 9. And he's certainly a worthy pick at that point. And they need to get younger and more talented on, you know, up in the front 7 on defense. You need a pass rusher, and you need to beef up your interior. So I think they could easily go to an edge rusher like a Jalen Walker from Georgia. So there's a lot they can address, but offensive line, exterior on the, you know, edge rusher and interior tackle, I think they should all address. And cornerback is suddenly a little bit thin. So I think cornerback is another position that they could go to. So this is a team that has to get young, fast, and more talented, and there's just so many areas where they have to do that. So there's no real clear answer on that in one position.
If there wasn't a microphone in front of me, I'd be banging my head on the table with this team. Let me ask you this. Is there a scenario where if – however it's perceived, whatever the move is, and it's perceived that this was a horrible draft class right away, is there any way Mickey Loomis gets let go, or are they going to ride it out with him more?
I mean, ownership and just their posture. I think if there's maybe one more miserable year and these, you know, and say they draft a quarterback and it's a total flop, a disaster, and some of these other guys don't pan out, maybe their hand is forced. I mean, Gail Benson just let go David Griffin, mm-hmm. and the guy, GM of the Pelicans, and he's somebody that was given, but he was at the end of his contract. You know, I don't have Loomis's contract in front of me or how much he's got on that left on that, but you know, Benson doesn't really like to run people off if they've got time still left on that contract. So I'm not anticipating any changes, even though I'm a believer that the Saints did need to make a change after the season at the top.
But with all the needs, Patrick, it sounds like the fact that they are deep rich in draft capital, that this is probably as good a time as any to have that capital to spend on many needs.
Yeah, I mean, I think they need every one of those picks. So I don't think they really need to burn any of them, you know?
Yeah.
I think they probably can afford to wait at 40 because I think one of these quarterbacks may still be there. You know, So I you know, I don't think they necessarily need to be aggressive to get back in the first round, because I think there's going to be, they have enough picks, you know, from second to fourth round where they can really make a difference on that roster. So I'm not somebody that's sitting here thinking like you got to force it. You know, yeah, they got to get a quarterback, but there's a good chance I think somebody's going to still be there at 40.
Well, Saints fans, take heart. It could be worse. There's no Ricky Williams to trade 6 draft picks for. And Russell Erksleben is no longer available as a number one pick. The New Orleans Saints and all the NFL teams making their first round picks tonight on television. Patrick McGee from the Times-Picayune. As always, Patrick, thanks for your insight.
All right, thanks, guys.
All right, Patrick McGee. And when we come back, we've got a little bit about a lot of things. Some loose ends to tie up, talk a little bit more baseball. We'll wrap up this Thursday edition of the Eagle Hour after ELO takes us to commercial break.
Robinson Electric Supply in Laurel is a wholesaler and distributor that has been powering our community for over 20 years. With everything from conduits to tape, tools to home automation devices, if you can think of it, we supply it. All you need to do is talk us through the project at hand, and we'll ensure you're equipped to get it done right. To get all the electrical supplies you need, visit Robinson Electric at 519 North 13th Avenue or call us at 601-649-1317.
Hey, Southern Miss fans, TrustCare Health is proud to support the Golden Eagles and help keep our community in top shape. Whether you're cheering at the Rock or the Peak, TrustCare has your back with convenient walk-in clinics and top-notch care for your urgent primary and kids' care needs. From game day injuries to everyday health needs, TrustCare is your go-to team. Visit us in Hattiesburg and Laurel, and let's keep the spirit of Southern Miss soaring to the top. Visit TrustCareHealth.com for more details. TrustCare Health. Feel better, faster.
The official auto dealer of the Eagle Hour. Genesis sedans and SUVs are the finest luxury vehicles on the road today. You can visit their all-new Genesis showroom on Highway 98 West in Hattiesburg. If you're ever down Hardy Street right across from the campus, I know a lot of the college students are getting ready for dead week next week, and then finals will be the week after that. So a lot of students will be stopping into Mobay Beignet Company to grab some of those cold and hot coffees. Great place to study. A lot of the students are there to do just that. And for you to get a delicious, fresh beignet that's not even made. They don't even roll out the dough until you place the order up front. They've been with us for a while now, and we appreciate the support of Mobay Beignet Company. And you can reach us on the Super Talk Eagle Hour podcast if you don't listen to us live daily. Apple Podcasts, Audible, Spotify, Stitcher, TuneIn, and YouTube are the places that you can find said podcast. And stay informed with the Pine Belt News. With the Pine Belt News, you can go to the source for news and sports in the Hattiesburg area. You can also explore their other publication, Signature Magazine. Get the Pine Belt News delivered to your home for just $35 a year or $55 annually if you live outside Forest and Lamar counties. You can follow the Pine Belt News on all social media platforms or visit their website at Hub City Spokes. That's S-P-O-K-E-S, Hub City Spokes. .com. And the man to my right, you'll be able to log on electronically or however you want to access the material that Andrew Abbedy does such a great job of covering Southern Miss. So this weekend baseball series, with the way that App State hits the ball and the way that Southern Miss, the back end of the bullpen, has been pitching the ball, how do you think this one shakes out, Andrew?
Sounds like there's going to be a lot of runs.
It does sound like that, which can only mean one thing. 2-1, 3-2.
Right. Or a lot of stressed out fans.
So you, Southern Miss, look for 2 out of 3?
I think they need a sweep again, personally.
Do you really?
Yeah, I do. I mean, they got lucky with Troy dropping one last week. I mean, they really need to sweep if they want to stay in the hunt for a conference title.
Yeah, but you're not talking about a team that's in the lower third of the standings here.
I mean, that's the position they put themselves in, though. I mean, you could have swept South. You could have swept Texas State. I mean, they've had opportunities to do it, and this is why I was saying they needed to get as many wins early on, because that was the favorable part of the Sun Belt. Now it's getting tougher.
Do you think now, in retrospect, even with the RPI moving up to 33, do you think that in retrospect that the schedule perhaps was a little too tough?
No, because non-conference was fine. The problem for them has been the teams that they thought were going to be really good this year have not been very good. UNC Wilmington, they have struggled. TCU is good, not great. They're not what TCU has been, you know, about 5-6 years ago. Mississippi State struggling. Ole Miss, yeah, it's a good RPI win. I don't think they're going to host, but they're better than what they were a couple years ago. So I think a lot of their key resume building games are not quite what they could be, like they thought they were going to be. And Louisiana Tech's another one, too.
I know it's a team sport, but at this point, if you had to name MVP on the Southern Miss team,
I think I'd share it with Middleton and Monastery right now.
I think that's what I would do as well.
Or Kobe Allen. That'd probably be my runner-up. But, I mean, that's been your two best players.
Most consistent players, sure.
Monastery's just been on tear. 20 RBIs in the last 8 games, 8 home runs. He's 13 for 30. I mean, that's crazy.
In the years, and obviously you're still very young, but have you ever seen anybody on a tear like Monastery is right now?
Taylor Braley would be the comparison. He was a very good old boy. Luke Reynolds was really good too. And Matt Wallner, I mean, yeah, great hitter. Maybe not quite this dominant of tears, but I'd have to throw those two in there. I mean, that in terms of what it reminds me of. And Dylan Berdeau was great his senior year.
And obviously, as Monastery, if he continues at this pace, his draft stock is only going up.
Yeah, no, I assumed he was going to get drafted at the end of this year, no matter what, quite honestly.
You did. So this is only enhancing his ability.
Yeah. I mean, this is just going to make the program look better as a whole. I didn't think I would have been surprised if he was going to be here for a fourth year on campus. So.
Well, after this long trip, the Eagles will at least get to come home, or any remaining road trips are not going to be, you know, statistically near as far away as where they have been. So let's hope they get at least 2 out of 3. And, of course, we're always hoping that sweep will come through.
Well, and you still got Troy at the end of the year on the road. I mean, that's going to be critical for them. More of a reason why they got a sweep this weekend, because that could be the difference between a 2 and a 3 seed and being put in a bracket with Coastal. Maybe you want that. Maybe you don't. I would think you want to be in the best position possible to win a conference championship.
At least it's not a 12-hour double-decker sleeper bus or whatever, however it is they travel, ride. Friday, Saturday, and Sunday at App State. Tomorrow we are going to be on the road at Ramey Motors and Power Sports on Highway 589 between Old Highway 11 and Interstate 59. And see what's going on at Ramey's. We get to go down there often. And on the program tomorrow, we'll talk a little bit about the NFL draft. And we're going to be talking to the director of Explore Montgomery. Montgomery, Alabama wants all Southern Miss fans to make it for the tournament. They're going to have some reasons as to why.
Yeah, you're the only fans that go.
They want you to come, and they're going to tell us why tomorrow on the program. That's tomorrow at 1 o'clock. Until then, Southern Miss.
To the top.
Time keeps on slipping, slipping, slipping into the future. I want to fly like an eagle to the sea.
Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.